Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of June 28th, 2019. So it turns out Massachusetts has a leadership role in addressing climate and has strong climate legislation. Most of that legislation is focused on working with the big utility companies in introducing renewable energy programs and many other things. Turns out there's a bit of a blind spot, however, when it comes to locally owned municipal light plants, or what are called MLPs, municipal light plants. I spoke with Oriana Riley, who is the program coordinator for the municipal light plants at the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Oriana has some updates and new information on what's going on with the MLPs. So if you listen to a 5-second sound bite, you'll be magically transported to an interview I had with Oriana a few days ago. Thanks a lot. Have fun. Hi all. So we're chatting with Oriana Riley, who's the program coordinator for the municipal light stuff at MCAN. How are you doing, Oriana?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Very well, very well. So I understand that there is some new legislation floating around that has to do with municipal light plants that I think is a little bit sketchy, but we'll get to that. I guess one of the first questions is, you know, 25 words or less, or 280 characters or less, what's a municipal light plant?
Yeah, so a municipal light plant is an electric utility that is owned by a town government or municipal government. Uh-huh. And so they're nonprofit governmental organizations as opposed to investor-owned utilities, which are owned by investors on Wall Street.
And what, there's some 50 or so towns in Massachusetts that have this kind of arrangement?
Yes, there's 50 towns, part or all of them, served by 40 municipal light plants. So a couple of towns joined together in one.
Right. So there's this concept of a locally owned utility in a particular town. And then the question comes, what are the implications of that for climate work? I mean, why is your title program coordinator for municipal light plants? I mean, what's the skinny there? I mean, why do people care?
Yeah, so it sounds pretty obscure, but municipal light plants make up about 15% of our electricity supply in Massachusetts. And we got involved in this because they're actually exempt from all of our climate goals and laws in the state. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Clean Energy Standard and the Renewable Portfolio Standard and energy efficiency programs. So we realized that there's this...
So you're saying, so these 50 towns are, well, you said the word exempt. I mean, it just doesn't apply to them. All the happy stuff that we talk about, renewable energy and whatnot with utilities, that's for people like NSTAR, right? And these...
Yes.
These MLPs, for better or worse, have not been included in that. Interesting. Okay.
Exactly. And so the idea in the past was, well, they're, you know, made for the public good, so they're probably doing all right, so maybe we don't need to require them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But with our research in the past year, we really found out that they're all way behind. So if you say, like, we have a 14% renewable energy in our electricity this year, that's only actually applies to 85%. So do the math and it's, you know, lower.
Now, you sort of shortchange yourself. You put in a huge amount of effort making a scorecard for these. MCAN has published a scorecard of the different municipal light plants in the state, right?
Yes.
And you were the lead on good for India. So that's why I'm glad we have your expertise here on the line. So that scorecard essentially was a gentle critique or an understanding or setting out where the actual state of play was for these municipal light plants, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's where we found out that they were falling way behind on energy efficiency and way behind on none of them met the Renewable Portfolio Standard in 2017.
Now, the renewable portfolio standard and the clean energy, do they come under the Global Warming Solutions Act, or is that a separate thing? I mean, GWSA is kind of this overarching strategy, right?
Yeah. So the GWSA, Global Warming Solutions Act, really just said that our entire state or commonwealth must have a framework for reducing emissions to 80% by 2050. Mm-hmm. It didn't say anything about exempting municipal light plants. And since the act applies to our entire state's emissions, pretty much anyone involved with climate would say, of course, MLPs are included in the GWSA.
Right. And so what that occurs to me, then the other interesting fact that will inform our discussion about this new legislation is the work you've been doing with the grassroots organizers in the different municipal light plant towns, right? So tell me about that.
Yeah, so starting about 2 years ago, we started meeting with some of our chapter members and a couple new people from municipal light plant towns, and we've had six summits with them focusing
six.
On
wow.
Yeah, six so far, and we've really been focusing on getting everyone educated on different topics that relate specifically to municipal light plants.
Mm-hmm.
And helping them in between that work on kind of increasing renewable energy or energy efficiency, or they have a special way to become a green community,
right,
some of them.
Right,
so
right.
That was a special case.
And it's interesting because, I mean, the municipal light plants are by definition local. And so grassroots pressure and people asking questions in the town at town meetings has a huge amount of leverage, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you ask a manager or an industry association even, they'll say, well, we do what our customers want.
So here we are. We've got the municipal light plants in the state. We recognize there's some issues. MCAN is helping to rectify and rectify that, let's say, shortfall, and trying to help the grassroots organizers in the municipal light plant towns to guide their municipal light plant managers to do the right thing. And
mm-hmm.
Okay, so with all that background, tell me, what's the story on Beacon Hill? I mean, what's come up there that's of interest to climate people?
Yeah, so interestingly, there's kind of been some pressure to get municipal light plants involved in some sort of clean energy standard, whether it's the clean energy standard or the renewable portfolio standard. Over the past couple of years, and that started at the Department of Environmental Protection. They exempted them for the last cycle. They're considering them again. So then in the legislature, there's been two bills proposed that would include municipal light plants in the clean energy standard, and one that would include them in a 100% renewables goal. And that's a whole bill that applies to all of our electricity. But then, interestingly, the Municipal Light Plant Industry Association submitted their
Those
own
are famous
bill.
Words, right? Industry Association.
Yeah, I want to make that really clear of who actually wrote it and who was behind it. So they submitted their own bill that's only about municipal light plants, and it's to create a greenhouse gas emission standard for MLPs.
Mm-hmm.
And on the face of it, it sounds like, whoa, that's a great idea. Like, they have been exempt from any standards for so long. It's definitely time, and we agree that they do need to be in some sort of standard for their electricity. However, on closer inspection, there are quite a few very alarming pieces of that bill, and it ends up looking like pretty much just an excuse to continue the status quo.
Under the guise of legally protected. So tell me, what are the specifics? I mean, what compared to what we would like them, you know, activists would like the municipal light plants to do, what are they kind of sneaking out of?
Yeah, so In that bill, there's a line that says that.
And before you start, just so we get it on the record, it's a bill. It's H. What?
H2863.
2863, and that's distinguished from some other bills that might be better for us. But H2863 is the one that's sponsored by the Industry Association, which is trying to basically be a get out of jail card, right? Okay. Okay. So back to what's in. Tell me a little bit more about what's in H2863.
So there are a couple things. One is there's a line in there that says after this bill passes, they'll be exempt from any other compliance with the Global Warming Solutions Act.
Okay. That's a good that. Yeah, that's clear.
And then another thing is that they get to pay themselves for failing to meet their own goals. So the goal in the bill states that it's an 80 that all munis will have a plan to reach 80% non-emitting energy by 2080, 2050, sorry. But with like 10 years in between the dates, with really low targets, with different definitions of clean energy in there. And then if they fail to meet these goals in 10-year increments, they get to pay themselves
I mean,
and
pay
use
themselves meaning
that.
take ratepayer money from the towns and pay the.
And pay into a fund that each one manages on their own. And then they can reinvest that into their own infrastructure that is broadly climate related, but no one's overlooking that. So
Wow.
most likely it means EVs or something. It could be even be anything.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty. I suppose that is the kind of legislation you write for yourself, huh?
Yeah,
Wow.
exactly.
Yeah.
It's just it basically ends up being voluntary at that level.
And so, well, yeah. Okay. So we have now. Was this? Tell me this. Do you have any idea? You may not. I mean, we've heard about this. What's the Koch, ALEC, the Koch brother group, right? That just cranks out legislation and mimeographs it and sends it out to a bunch of states. Crazy, crazy stuff. Is this in the same thing? Has this been submitted to other states, do you know? Or is it peculiar to Massachusetts because of the far-sighted action of climate activists that are trying to bring this issue to the fore?
Good question. So I do know that the Public Power Association, if you look on their website, that's like the national umbrella of these kind of utilities across the country. They do have some pretty concerning messaging around climate change and renewable energy that seems very similar. I don't
Concerning
know.
and meaning dismissive.
Dismissive. Kind of like trying to say that they're green at the same time as saying like climate change isn't really a big deal and renewable energy isn't that great.
Okay.
I could probably do a podcast looking through that website another day, but I don't know of any specific legislation like this. I do know I did look this up pretty carefully, and I found that at least 11 other states do include their municipal light plants in their renewable portfolio standards.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, all right. So you got this bill sitting on in the Massachusetts legislature there on Beacon Hill under the golden dome of our capital. What's the next sort of milestone for the bill, right? What's going to happen to it? Because I know it's probably going to drift for until this time next year, I think, is the way that, right? But I mean, what can people do now to express opposition? And this is global, right? If you're in a municipal light plant town, it's particularly useful for you to speak up, but anybody can speak up, right? So tell me, where's the bill? What's happening? What's the timetable?
Yeah, absolutely. So the bill is currently in committee in the Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy Committee. And the committee has to deliberate and vote on whether to send the bill to the House floor favorably or keep it in committee and not send it out. So I'm not sure when that'll happen. It could happen this summer.
Right.
And the bill recently had a hearing last week, actually, last Tuesday, had its hearing. So that kind of means it's moving forward, and the committee is taking all the testimony and analysis right now and looking at it, and that will help guide the decision. So anyone who lives in a non-municipal light plant town can also call their legislature and say they have concerns with this bill, that it's not very fair, because if you're like me and I live in Boston, I'm paying on my bill a renewable energy charge, and energy efficiency charge.
Right. There's that sort of free rider idea that some people are getting. Interesting. So just tell me this. Do you know offhand, again, you may not have all this at your fingertips, do you know some of the the people on the committee that are considering this?
Yes, I do. So the sponsor of the bill is Representative Golden, and he is actually the chair of the committee as well.
Okay. So if you, I guess my point I'm going to go to is, if you are in Representative Golden's district,
yes,
this is your chance to be a climate hero. Right?
Exactly.
Call him up.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are other people there, right? That this is the telecommunications utility and environment, which is a strange combination. But people can look up their own rep and see if that person is on this committee. And, you know, again, this is a chance to focus kind of impact, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So this is a key moment.
Key moment. And it sounds as if this is where that despite the fact that the ultimate bill would be voted on much later, getting out of committee is a big step, right? If you can keep it in the committee, it's a good thing. And this is the time to apply that kind of leverage.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that's the action. And I know that on the MCAN website somewhere, I'm sure there's guidance as to the State House phone number, in case people can't figure that out on their own, and who their state rep is and all that kind of stuff. That's there, right? And probably somewhere there's a script of how to call in and make a complaint, right?
Yes, I have a script. It's actually not published on the website, but people can email me.
Mm-hmm.
At OrianaRiley@massclimateaction.net.
Super. In the so if you're listening to the sound of my voice, all the ships at sea kind of thing from old radio days, you know, feel free to call your rep about this. I guess the other question, sort of slightly tangential but related, last time you and I had the chance to speak, Oriana, we were talking about something called biomass, which is basically burning wood to make electricity. Is there any connection between biomass stuff and the municipal light plants?
Yeah, actually there is. This is a really interesting intersection of two big things kind of happening at once. So while Palmer Biomass Company,
which is the place in Springfield,
yes, has been trying to ramp up rebuilding that plant. And the DOER is considering whether to give them renewable energy certificates for it, which would provide a lot of extra funding for them. They're also looking for funding to secure building the project from municipal light plants specifically, because the munis can enter into 20-year power purchase agreements with Palmer Biomass. So if they can secure enough of those, then they'll have enough funding to build the plant, most likely.
Interesting.
So a couple of the munis, there's activists in those towns who are really engaged in watching their municipal light plant, found out about this contract and showed up at light board meetings and talked to their light board members and requested that they not enter into a contract with biomass electricity with Palmer specifically. And so
you can't see me, Oriana, but I'm smiling broadly. I mean, that's a great,
awesome.
A great connection.
It is. Yeah, it is. And so I'm really proud of all of those groups, because that could have been the tipping point of whether this plant gets built or not. And they really did all that they could to not contribute to that environmental injustice. And I just want to shout out most notably Middleborough, Ipswich, Belmont, Concord, all said no. Oh, also Holden, they all said no to the Palmer biomass plant.
Fantastic. Well, Oriana, and you have been a key player in organizing these, you know, bringing all this stuff to light. So it's great chance to chat with you about this. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk. It's been very interesting, and I want you to keep marching down that road. You're doing a good thing.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon. So that's the story. You can check out links to most of what we've discussed at the blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can learn more about the Municipal Light Plant Program and get in touch with Oriana if you want. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. We'd love to hear your insight and suggestions for future shows. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Radio, Overcast, yada, 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 all of the major podcast outlets. Of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. We want to thank D.R. Tucker for his continuing research report, and we'll close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. Thanks to everyone for listening. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.